You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me. We are really at the end of a year, 2021. Wow, what a year this has been. I would say personally, it has been a year of so many life challenges and changes. I am just grateful to be closing it out. And I keep saying the best is yet to come. So 2022, I think, is going to be something amazing. And I'm excited. And my special guest today is coming back for part two, Sherry Sterling Fernandez. And she has a life mastery program that I really think is key, because change is in the air. Change is inevitable. And so I just think that we are all really in the midst of change and transformation for love and for good. And so I just want everyone to take a deep breath and blow it out. One more, and just blow out all the stress and tension. You've made it through the holidays. If you celebrate the holidays during this time, in your tradition, in your culture, where you live, and just want to remind you that I am a psychologist with 23 years of experience. I do therapy, but I also do coaching. I love how Sherry talks about coaching versus mentoring, but really we're here to support you on your journey towards growth and change so that you can really be happy in your life. And so one of the things that I do is I use CBD daily. And CBD comes from the hemp plant, not the marijuana plant. It is one of the plants of cannabis that doesn't get you high, but has medicinal benefits. Every human walking has an endocannabinoid system, and we have receptor sites in every organ that seek and need CBD. And when we intake it, it creates this homeostasis. And I like to tell the clients that I work with that when I use it, I just feel calm and focused. And I love that. I love just not feeling stressed, not feeling anxious. I'm just calm and focused. So I know that I can really, you know, laser in on what it is that I have to do. And so please check out my website. It's healthyminds.expert. I have some coaching specials going on, packages of 3, 6, and 12, taking off 100, 200, 300, because I really want you to get involved, because we all need mentors. I have a mentor. You need a mentor, because we all need support as we kind of continue on this journey called life. And so without further ado, I want to introduce back Sherry Sterling Fernandez. This is a phenomenal woman, a speaker, a teacher, a mentor, and now author of Life Mastery, her new book, Personal Progression Toward an Infinite Potential. She and her husband are really a rags to riches story. Against all odds, they found success not only financially, but in each of the 8 areas of life mastery, which I love that creator program. It's physical, spiritual, relationships, education, motivation, money, lifestyle, and character. I mean, she really just goes full circle with the Life Mastery program. And it is a result of her careful study of the principles of success and a lifetime of practices And she's been practicing those principles. And what makes her unique is her ability to teach personal development in the years of study and practice she's invested to master the principles that she now teaches. And it all began in 2009 in the midst of a recession when she opened a boutique fitness called Fitmania in personal development business. Fit Life grew rapidly and transformed lives. And out of that emerged Sherry's Life Mastery Training, the Life Mastery Mentoring Program, and her powerful new book, again, Life Mastery, Personal Progression Towards an Infinite Potential. And I love this because, you know, her book opens with this idea of happiness. And I'm going to kind of start there about this really personal progression toward an infinite potential is the key to happiness. And I just love that. So I'm excited to bring back Sherry. Thank you so much for coming back for part two. Welcome and happy holidays.
Thank you, Dr. Erica. It's been fun to be back and talk to you again. And it's like visiting an old friend right now.
I love it. So I love this idea that personal progression toward an infinite potential is the key to happiness. Just maybe talk a little bit about that. I love that.
You know, it's so easy to explain the opposite. I'm going to just explain that because we talk about it all the time. But, you know, when we're still, a lot of people talk about being stuck, right? Or backsliding. I had these habits. I used to be like this, and now I'm backsliding back to this. But mostly the stuck thing, we all know that's unhappiness. That's depression. It's not the worst of clinical depression, but it's depression. Much depression comes from that feeling stuck, not happy. The opposite is moving forward, happy. It's that simple. When we're moving forward and not, there's no really growth in big leaps and bounds. I think that's one thing that keeps people stuck is they think, oh, I see all these people around me. They're just leaping forward in these big leaps forward. And there are no big leaps forward. There's just little steps. But what's super cool, I think it's just such a beautiful thing about life is that you just take some steps forward. That's all it takes to bring the happiness back. And the more you take, the happier you get, right? But to get out, just to get unstuck and take little baby steps and the happiness starts coming. And so it's not like you have to master some huge thing or jump some large chasm and become something. Little baby steps and happiness comes. Backsliding, unhappiness. Forward, happiness.
And I think a lot of people, you know, see it as you arrive. Okay, you make those moves, you make those changes, you create those daily habits. Now you arrive, now you're happy, and that's it.
You never arrive. That's what, but it's just great because we would be bored. We don't want to really arrive. It's like, you know, it's an old analogy, but it's like climbing the mountain, right? You climb the mountain, and then there's another mountain and another mountain. But it's a good thing because it's the journey is where the happiness comes from. And I think we miss it. I think if you ask people, I'd say, oh yeah, I know that, but we don't live like we know it. The happiness is in those little baby steps forward. I'm like, well, I'm so proud of myself. I feel so good. I feel lighter because I'm not so stuck and there's happiness. And we all have this destiny. We all love the superheroes, you know, and they know they have a destiny to be a superhero. Well, we're all superheroes. We all have greater destinies than, I don't know, Superman or whatever. Our destinies are just fabulous. And we're just moving towards them is what makes us intrinsically happy.
Yeah. And I don't think that we were actually taught that though, because a lot of people that I work with in my clinical practice, you know, are fed this idea that, you know, you pick a career, you know, you stick to it and you do it and that's it, you know, and I thought that, you know, I was like, okay, I got my practice. I've been doing it for 23 years. I'm good at what I do. Is that it? You know,
that sounds so depressing to me.
Right, right.
We reinvent ourselves so many times. And it's great. But when it's not great anymore, then it's time to change. I had six kids and I raised kids for 33 years.
Wow.
I was a full-time mom. No, hardly anybody you know has raised kids as long as I have. And just by the way, I gave birth to all six of those kids. I
That's
didn't
such
give them
a
any other
blessing.
Way.
Like you got my automatic respect. That is an amazing woman.
So I went from party girl and hippie girl to Mormon girl and raising six kids to gym owner, business owner, to author, teacher, lecturer, which I did do a lot of that stuff overlapping, of course. Like I've been speaking, as people noticed the changes in me and what I was accomplishing with the things I was doing, I was asked to speak a lot and teach classes and do different things. And so I did grow through all those, and those overlap, but now I'm going to probably reinvent myself again. I'm going to do something else, you know, and I've got an aunt who's 80 and she's kind of taken a step back. She's made some changes in her life and she's moving forward, trying to figure out what her next thing's going to be. I don't know, just digress a little bit, but when my children were in school, grade school, like even like young years of grade school, teachers would say, educators would say things like, well, we need to get them ready for junior high. And then at junior high, they're trying to get them ready for high school, and high school for college. And even in grade school, they say, so they can, you know, be good in junior high and then do well in high school so they can get into a good college. And be like, so is the purpose of grade school to get a good job and get good retirement benefits? I don't know. You know, it feels like that's the trajectory. You do this and this and this and this. Go to good grade school, to a good junior high, to a good high school, to a good college, to a good job, to retirement, and then what?
Exactly.
Right? Where instead, I wish we were, and I don't know how to explain it really well. I don't think I say it really well, but to think of ourselves as on a journey of personal growth, and this is good for now. Sure, do really good in grade school, but do good in grade school because you want to do good in grade school. And then go to junior high and see what you want to explore in junior high. And then take your journey to high school and just enjoy it and be there and explore high school and college and profession. And maybe I had this good friend who was a dentist, and he wasn't even been in his practice all that long. He liked dentistry. He said, I think I like to do real estate now. And he just sold his practice and did real estate because he just wanted to try something different, right? I think that's a better, happier way to grow. What is it that we need? We don't need to decide what we're going to do for our career when we're in elementary school or even in high school.
But that's what we train kids to do. We're always asking, well, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
It's almost like the message that we send is that you arrive and then that's it. But when you get there, you're like, this isn't it. Like, well, it isn't. There's more that I can do.
Even if it's that's your career, that's only a career. That's only one little piece of life. What are you going to be as a spiritual person? What are you going to be as a physical person? And what's your education going to look like? And what's your lifestyle going to look like? And what's your relationships going to look like? We focus all this stuff on career. Like, it's so way overrated. The career thing is so overrated. It's a job to feed your family, really. And hopefully you get some satisfaction out of it. But when there's no more satisfaction there, or you want to try something new, let's do something new. Or let's remember that, yeah, it's just a job. Let me make sure that I've got friends and my marriage is good and my children are great and everybody else, and I'm educating myself and I'm a whole person. I'm not just a career person. I see these people retire from their jobs and they were important people, but nobody cares. Now you're old. You could be a janitor, a doctor, you know, and you're right. Just another guy that's retired.
And I think that's right. And I think that's why your idea of happiness is key, because what it's saying is it's always a progression and the potential is infinite.
And
so you're always right. You will never run out of creativity and ideas and inspiration about what you want next or what you desire next. And I think, you know, we talked a little about these ideas that you have, these six things, you know, really that require you before you can make those strides and make those changes. And I kind of want you to review them a little bit, because a lot of people have this limiting belief that change is difficult or that they can't change. So many people buy into the idea that this is just who I am. This is my personality. I've been raised in this environment with these beliefs, with this religion, with this culture, with this identity. And this is just who I am. Accept me as who I am. And it's like, well, do you like who you are? Because if you don't like it, or it's not giving you what you want from life, then you have the power within you to change. Can you speak on that?
Yeah. First of all, I think it's important to like yourself. I hope everybody does like themselves. But if there's anything you don't like, I love that you say that. If there's anything you don't like, well, then don't look for somebody to blame. Just go change that thing. But you have to be a person that likes yourself to move forward And so what we want to be is a person's like, I like myself, and who I am is somebody who moves forward. I'm a person who's always progressing. I like the idea of life as being like we're our own canvas, our own masterpiece. What I make of myself is my purpose in life. It isn't to have a career or even to be a mother or to be anything. It's to make of myself the very best me that I can be. And that's a journey that never ends. But to be that, you have to be all those eight areas. If I just pursue my career or just pursue motherhood or just pursue fitness, then that's not happiness. That's not a whole masterpiece. That's like coloring one corner of your picture, right? Instead of doing the whole picture. So I like to think, and that's how I've thought of myself, is how can I be better? What I want to do, be the best I can be in this area and this area. I want the best marriage possible. I want the best body possible. I want the best financial life possible. I want everything, which is possible. I believe. Let's talk about those six things. To know change is possible. We all know it, like we talk about, like we know about. I think we have to really know it inside. I can change. Change is possible for me. It might be slow. Starting might be painful, but change is possible. We have to be accountable. We have such a culture of victimization. I'm quite concerned about some of the new authors that are getting popular among young women claiming I just should be, I don't know. It's a victimization mentality. And I'm very concerned about that, especially among young women. Like we're victims of men and we're victims of the circumstances. We're victims of, I don't know what, culture, whatever. I don't even know what they're victims of. They seem perfectly fine to me. I don't know. To have a desire to change, you have to really want to, because it's not comfortable. You have to want to, it has to be, you have to have more desire to change than to stay where you are. I tell the butterfly story, you know, how do you give up being a caterpillar? You have to want to be a butterfly so bad you're willing to give up being a caterpillar, right? Or that's how you become a butterfly. You have to want to be willing to give up being a caterpillar. So you have to have a desire to change, to want more and to be more, even if it pinches a little. And then you have to educate how to do it. It's not something we're really taught. It's not something we know instinctively. So we seek out all you mentioned about mentoring and coaching. All of the people who I've really admired, both personally and just public figures that I've admired and watched their lives, they all spend an inordinate amount of their time, of their money and time on personal development. They're learning how to be better all the time. And they use coaches and mentors, not constantly, not as a crutch, but to help them get to the next level. And you and I are trying to help people do that. But if I can make an aside here too, when you choose your coach or your mentor, please make sure that they are successful in all of, that they practiced all of these things. Don't pick one of these Instagram influencers who are teaching you victimization. Make sure that the people you choose have good relationships and they have good finances and they've got good health. You don't want to take advice. We have a line around our house. We say, never hire a fat trainer, which is sort of a metaphor for, you know, don't hire a broke financial consultant. Don't hire somebody who's been divorced five times or doesn't have good, healthy relationships to give you marriage counseling or to help you raise your children. I knew a counselor for the state, a child counselor, and didn't have kids of his own. And he told me one time, I hate kids. I'm like, serious? You're a child counselor for the state. You don't have children of your own. And you're telling people how to raise their kids, you know? So we want to make sure that the people we choose that are people that are on higher ground than we are. And not just because they wrote a book. And I did write a book, but because they've had experience and they know what they're talking about. Sorry for that.
I think that's great.
And then you got to apply the knowledge. I mean, I had a friend that would read all these books all the time on how to be better, but she'd never want to do anything about it. I'd say, what are you going to do? She'd be like, well, nothing. So you got to apply it. You can't just know it. I mean, a lot of people got a head full of knowledge and not applying it. And then you got to stay committed. And it's got to be a lifelong pursuit. You can't just be like, you know, okay, now I think I'll give that up now. I watched so many people get ripping fit. And the lifestyle that we taught was actually a lifestyle. You don't have to be hungry. It's not a temporary diet. The workouts are short. They're very effective. It's an easy lifestyle for forever. And lots of people stick with it because of that. But there's a lot of people that quit too. They get ripping fit and then they just let it stay. The commitment didn't stay. But there's tools. You need some tools for all of that too. You need to be educated not only how to change, but how to stay committed. And a good mentor can do that for you. That's what I do. That's my jam for mentoring is teaching people how to change, helping them make the changes they want and how to stay committed. And I give tools for that.
I love that. And I really love the idea that you have to stay committed. Because like you said, it's not a temporary fix. It's not a, you know, crash diet. It doesn't happen overnight. I always say it's consistency. It's what you do every day consistently over time that creates the change.
I say almost the exact thing, word for word. It's consistency over time. If I work out every day, I'm, you know, you get these people in these fitness, I'm going to get in shape in 3 months. Okay, well, that'd be fine. But then what are you going to do, right? You want the habit of working out every day and moving your body or whatever, however you determine that's most effective, which there are more effective ways than others, by the way, for that. If you want to be a mindful person, you're going to meditate, not here and there, not for a while, but every day for forever. I'm going to work out 5 days a week as a rule the rest of my life. Not a 12-week program. But if I do that, I'm going to be fit the rest of my life. If I read every day for the rest of my life, I'm going to know lots of stuff. If I work on my relationships every day, make sure I'm trying to improve my own behavior in my relationships, see how I can love better, be better, and I keep working on that and I make that constant goal, I'm going to have some pretty good relationships, which I do because I've done that, right? And that's the key is when you don't just say, well, I'm going to do this for 12 weeks and then I'm going to do what, you know, you've got to have it's got to be for forever. And once you plug that in, then you can quit worrying about it. You know, people who are new, they need to start working out, that they're kind of getting soft. They need to do something. They think about their weight or their fitness dozens and dozens of times a day. If they're not, they don't have a program. When they put their seatbelt on, when they get dressed, when they take a shower, when they wash their face, when they brush it, when they're out in public, when they see somebody cute walk by, there you think about it. But once you get your program in place, you might not have arrived, but you quit, all that creative energy is freed up. Now I don't have to think about that 20 times a day because I've got my program in place. I'm working on it. It's done. And that's true of all those 8 areas. Are there better marriages? You might ask yourself. Yeah, but I'm working on mine, so it's okay. I'm going to get there and I don't have to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. I like that when you say, you know, the systems are more important than the goals, because I know people tend to form goals, but they don't have the system in place.
Right. And we've been taught all our lives about, if you were in Boy Scouts or whatever, or just everywhere or any kind of personal development, you got to set your goals, write them down. But still, if you don't have a working plan, a system to implement them into, then they're just written down wishes, right? If once you get them in a system, the goal, actually, I want to be strong and fit all my life. Maybe that's my goal. Well, I'm working out. I'm eating like this. I'm always reviewing my program, being a little bit better every month. Maybe take a look, see how I can do better. But it's just going to happen. So I don't need that goal anymore. It's still there, but I don't need to write it down. I got it implemented. And so, the systems, one of my favorite topics to speak on is how systems are better than, or more important than goals. Of course, you got to have the goals to know what to put in your systems, but the systems are what makes it happen.
Right. And being accountable daily. I love that daily checklist that you gave me last time we were talking, you know, because it really does hold you accountable. Yeah. It always goes back to you. Yep. You having the power within you, you having the desire, you having the, you know, want and belief that you can change, and then sticking to it and making yourself accountable.
Right. And, you know, we talked about mentors and coaches. That's not their role. It's their role to get you started, but you can't count on a coach I would be very frustrated to work with somebody who doesn't have any their own accountability because you can't move forward with them. Right. So you have to have a good system to keep yourself accountable. And then your coach and mentors helps you get to the next level and the next level. If you're using a coach or a mentor just to help you be accountable, then you've got the wrong coach or mentor. That your coach or mentor should be teaching you how to be accountable to yourself, not letting them use you as their accountability, if that makes sense.
It does. It's the same thing that I say about motivation. You know, people are like, oh, well, I'm not motivated. Motivation is intrinsic. Mm-hmm. You have to get up and move. Then you have the energy.
It can be developed and it can be you can get it, and you'll have to have a system. And it's like a muscle. It'll have to be strengthened. If you don't have hardly any motivation, you'll have to work on really small things to start with. When I work with clients, we can start with things sometimes as small as brushing your teeth every day, right? And then we can build on that. Now I'm going to pray every day. Now I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat breakfast every day. Whatever the goals that they need to work on, what you start with, wherever you're at, it can be built, but it starts small and it takes some systems to make it happen. You won't, you know what? Personal training in fitness is a really good example. People hire personal trainers all the time. They do it for the accountability. They say, well, I won't work out if I don't work out with somebody. Well, you can't do that for forever, right? You have to have a system. And anyway, back to the systems things. But a good mentor will give you good systems and will take you to next levels, not just check up on you.
Which... Yeah. How did you come up with the 8 areas of life mastery?
I did 7 for forever. Well, actually, when I first started speaking and teaching, I talked about 3. I talked about relationships, physical and spiritual. And then I thought, well, where are you going to put your plans for your lifestyle, for example? Or what about mental and educational? And what about motivational? So I added those, but forever I had 7. And then just about the time I started writing Life Mastery, when I'd worked with clients, it'd be things like being on time. Where do we put that? Or I could be a little more honest in the things that I say. Well, where are you going to put that? You know, it doesn't really fit anywhere. And it dawned on me, and I felt really inspired. Actually, I felt really, truly inspired on this. Like I had help beyond myself that we need characters vitally important. It's the one that keeps everything else on track. So you don't lose yourself. Like if I want this goal so bad, I'm working so hard on it. If I'm not also tracking my character, I might cut a corner. I might be not quite as honest as I could be. So I love the character one. Plus, we should be working on who we are. One of the tools I talk about in Life Mastery is writing a personal constitution, governing values, we call them. That also helps along that character thing to write our values. Then we know what to work on for character.
I love that because I think that some people don't really have that conversation with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they're easily influenced by whatever is the new thing. And if you don't have that fundamental, you know, value, you could be easily swayed.
Yeah. It's like the old country song, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Exactly.
I know all the old country songs.
Exactly.
Lots of wisdom in there. But it's true. If you don't have to know what it is you believe, or some other life could sound really good. And that it was Benjamin Franklin. And I talk about that in the book. Benjamin Franklin is really the father of personal development in many ways, but he wrote his own personal constitution. And to my knowledge, he was the first one. I think there was some Marcus Aurelius and there was a few people like that I think had that concept sort of, but I think he was the first one, at least in our modern era, so-called modern era, that really made a personal constitution a thing, I guess, a valuable thing, helped us understand the value of knowing what you believe in and then standing for what's most important to you. I think my own governing values need a little bit of work, and I'm going to work on them at a retreat in a couple of days, but they've been valuable for me. And the practice of sitting down and writing what you, even if you don't go look at them again, just the process of developing that can really help you cement what you do really believe in.
I love it. We've got about 1 minute and 30 seconds. Can you tell my listeners where they can get the mentorship, where they can get the programs and the book?
The book is on Amazon, and the audio book would have been out to now, but my guy got COVID. So he didn't get it finished yet.
Bless him.
As soon as he's better. That's going to be out. It should be out in a week or two. The audio book there is going to be on Audible, and then the books on Amazon. Website, lifemasteryinfo.com. If you email me, I will return. I will answer you. If I don't answer you, I didn't get it. So lifemasteryinfo.com. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And so I'm easy to access if you'd like to talk to me at all.
And on Instagram, it's Life Mastery Mentors, right?
I think so. Yeah. Somebody's running that for me.
So, okay. Yeah. It's Life Mastery.
Life Mastery Mentors.
Yes. Okay.
And any Facebook.
Okay. Facebook. Yeah. Facebook. Yeah. It's Life Mastery Mentors as well. Yep. Any last words of wisdom for my listeners to take away?
You want to, if you're worried about what's going on in the world, if you then work on yourself, and that's the best way you can influence the world. You got a relationship that isn't right, work on yourself. The key to all of life's problems is we start here, and it causes a ripple effect, and that's how we change the world. So if you don't like the world the way it is, work on ourselves. Trying to do it any other way is deflecting what really needs to be done. So that's the answer.
I love it.
And then you can be happy.
I love it. Thank you so much, Sherry Fernandez, for coming back. I would love to have you back for part three. So
okay,
anytime. Stay tuned, Dr. ladies America. And gentlemen.
You and I are on the same page, and I love visiting with you.
And so, happy new year, happy new 2022. Year the best is yet to come.
It's going to be the spring after a winter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. You have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.